Hello and welcome to Room Escape Divas, and today our guest is Tammy McLeod, who was a contestant with the Red Bull Mind Gamers World Finals.
Woo!
On my own, without my team beside me, all alone, the search for clues is daunting. I win, I feel the times against me, and if I lose my way, I can't rely on help around me. It's a name, I feel my progress wither, and the lights, they barely give a glimmer. Darkness, who's there to hold my flashlight? And all I see just frustrates me forever and forever. And I know I said that I'd be fine. Now I'm talking to myself and need a pen.
Tammy, and welcome to Room Escape Divas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Divas.
Hello.
Yay.
So we only have myself and Manda here because Mike and Ruby are in Taiwan.
Yes.
And it almost sounds like we're making up excuses.
That they're murdered in our basement or something.
Yeah, because they're never around. And so at least
basement?
They were here in the last one. But anyway, it's great to have you on, Tammy.
I'm glad to be here.
So Tammy, like as we said before, you were a contestant in the recent Red Bull Mind Gamers World Finals.
So just to begin, why don't you tell us a bit of how you got involved in it, what team you played for, and you know the experience
or even talk about what it is,
or when it is,
what it was.
Oh yeah, what it was. Yeah. So give us the lowdown.
Okay. Well, first off, it was an international championship with teams from 22 countries meeting in Budapest, and we played a semifinal round with a brand new escape room, and the top two teams went on to the finals so they could crown the world escape room champions. So I was on Team USA, and the way I found this team was a really funny story. I'm from Los Angeles, but there wasn't a qualifier event being held in Los Angeles, so I decided to fly up to Berkeley. But by the time I made that decision, everyone I knew in Berkeley had already formed their own teams. So I started asking around, and I hooked up with a friend of a friend who I had never met before.
Oh, so you went with the people you did not know.
Exactly.
Wow.
But I sort of gave him my resume and said, hey, I would be a good player. And he decided to try and form a new team so that we could all go to the qualifier together and try out.
That's pretty cool. Wow. And so it was just like, well, for those of you who we keep talking about having randoms in an escape room, but in your case, it worked great.
So when you said you handed him a resume, like, what does that look like? Was it just like a, you know, your experience with puzzles, or was it your professional resume? Like, what is your day job normally?
I want to know what an escape room resume is like. That's kind of cool.
Well, he was a stranger, so I knew I really had to sell myself because I wanted this team. So I told him, well, I've done, you know, 80 escape rooms, and I was the U.S. Sudoku champion in 2009.
Whoa, you were? That's cool. I didn't know that.
So, and like, I've done a lot of puzzle hunts, so I have this background, so maybe I'll make a good, you know, teammate.
That's awesome. And was it...
What else is on your resume? This is interesting. Could you send it to us? I want to see the resume now.
Well, I was a High Quora champion in
2016. Whoa, gee. You've like eclipsed us in everything now. I don't have a resume of my puzzle abilities. I think I need to get one.
Oh, great. Cool. You've put the seed in his head and he's going to...
Well, I put on my LinkedIn that I escape rooms, but nobody ever like votes that up. So I don't have any cred at all.
You should have one ready for if you need to go on a puzzle team sometime.
Yeah, this is good advice for anyone else that wants to go on a puzzle. Anyway, sorry, we're interrupting you. Go ahead, Tammy.
We did some discussion over email of how to approach the qualifying round. And on the day off, I flew up to Berkeley, met my team for the first time an hour before the event.
Wow.
It doesn't get more random than that. So that was pretty much it. We played it, and that was, I think, the second to third last U.S. qualifying event. And at that point, we managed the fastest time so far. Actually, it was the fastest time in the world, I believe.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So that was very exciting. And then we were very, really nervous for a couple more weeks after that while we waited to see if anybody beat us.
I can imagine that's probably the hardest 2 weeks ever.
Pretty much. And then when we found out we were actually going to be the US team, we decided we needed to get some practice in as a team. So my team was all from the San Francisco area, and they had done all the rooms over there, and I had done all the rooms in the Los Angeles area. So we had to find a new city where there were new rooms for us to do together, and we decided to go to make a weekend of it and go to San Diego. I think we did 13 rooms in 2 days.
Wow, that's awesome.
Just to get that practice, that training in, that's amazing. So did the rest of your team know each other?
I believe, well, the guy who brought the team together, he was Jason, and I think he knew everybody else separately.
Oh, okay. So you guys are like the ultimate randoms almost.
Pretty much. But when I got there, I found the other two teammates. One of them was Richard, and we both worked for the same employer, albeit in different offices. The other person was Shuai, and she and I went to the same college. So we had stuff in common that we could talk about, and we got along really well as a result.
So do they know that you're doing this interview right now?
Actually, no, they don't.
So they're going to hear it and go, wait a minute, why weren't we invited? Well, they're not in the Slack chat, so I don't even know these people exist.
You should have done that, a group thing, a group invitation.
And so... there were the qualifiers that were first on the web, was there not, where people had to see if they, or was it, I can't remember exactly how people qualified, because I remember a lot of people were doing a lot of puzzle games on the internet first. Wasn't it something like that?
For the country teams, yes. You to show up at the in-person qualifier, you first had to do an online qualifier. And everyone who, the top 20 people who scored for the online qualifier for a particular city got invited to go to the in-person qualifier with a team of four.
Right.
So for the Berkeley event, my team, we actually placed third, fourth, and fifth for the online qualifier. And so we formed a single team and showed up in person.
Nice. How many? And so there are 20 teams you went up against, or 20 teams not that tried this for the U.S.
This was just for Berkeley, and I think there were 14 events all over the United States for this.
Right. Oh, cool. So you had to go up against lots of teams.
And so up until this point, you had mentioned that you'd done a few escapes before in L.A. Like, Did you consider yourself like an escape room enthusiast at that point, or had you just sort of dabbled
she's an
in
enthusiast.
Them? I know
we're
now
Facebook
she is.
Friends. No, oh, yeah? We're Facebook friends. I see her do escape rooms. Anyway, so we can let Tammy answer that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I consider myself an enthusiast. I didn't consider myself an expert. I wasn't even the person on the team with the highest count at that point.
Oh, okay, right.
Because you were at 80. How many escape rooms did the other people do?
I think there were over 100 each.
Woo!
Two of them were. Shuai was the relative newbie. But, you know, she did her part on the team just like anybody else.
And so how was it then? So you went through both qualifying rounds and then you guys emerged as Team USA, basically. So how did it feel to know you're going to Budapest?
That was really awesome because, you know, I had heard of the whole escape room trend in Europe starting in Budapest. So it was kind of really exciting to have an expense paid trip to go there. And I think the thing I looked forward to most was actually meeting all the teams from other countries.
No, I bet. How many countries were represented
22?
There? 22?
22 countries. And there were two more teams that were wildcard teams, which
yes.
Were qualified with two different rounds on the internet.
So were these wild card teams, were they also a bunch of randoms put together as well, or?
There was one team that was made of two Americans and two Russians, and the other team was, I believe, one American, one French, one Australian, and one Canadian.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, that's I wonder neat. Who the Canadian was. I know Oni Game, or Weiwa, was one of on the wild card team, but I wasn't too sure who the other wild card team members were.
Most of them actually were on Slack.
Slack team. Team Slack.
Well, I remember. So we had a Slack channel dedicated to this, and it was a crazy busy channel right after the
we'll get
show.
To that,
oh
yeah.
My goodness, there was so much chatting in there. It was insane.
I think part of that was because Scott Nicholson was in it, so everybody really wanted to voice their opinion to him.
Yeah, and ask him questions. Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of, I only really caught bits and pieces because it was going by so fast.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep track.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to, so how did your family feel that you were going off to a new country? Or maybe you've been there before just to do escape rooms.
My husband was actually very supportive. He's been through this before where I go off and do some kind of silly championship by myself.
That's true. You are the Sudoku championship. So he's used to this.
And puzzle hunts and all sorts of things.
Yeah, in a weird way he is. And it gets to the point where he's just like, all right, I expect you to come back a winner. And I go to him like, don't you understand this actually is hard for me?
And how old is you have a daughter?
Yes, she's 8.
8 years old. Woohoo.
She does escape rooms with me sometimes too.
Nice. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I drag my kids along as well, whether they want to or not. But.
So was your daughter sad that she wasn't going on this super amazing trip with her mom?
Actually, she was. My husband and my daughter wish they could have come, but Red Bull said that there was not enough space for family members at the event.
No, right. That makes total sense. Wow. Okay, so you guys flew to Budapest, and what was the very first thing you did?
Oh my God, that was we got there on a Wednesday, and the first thing we just had to try to get situated. It was there were teams flying in from all over. We were actually left at the airport for a couple of hours when we first got there. All the Americans, including the ones in the wildcard team, were also on the same flight, so it was kind of. There was safety in numbers, so we knew we were in the right place.
So it's just just this herd of puzzlers sitting in the airport.
But we eventually got there and we got checked in. But nothing started until the next day, at least. So we had that one day of rest. The way they had planned it was all the people who were coming from closer countries, the European countries mostly, were competing on the first day, and we were going to compete on the second day. So we had a day of relaxation beforehand.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Especially
with the time
lag.
Change. Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem with that we saw was that because they were going to take the top team from each day into the finals, we knew that none of the other teams, only one team from our daily group would be the one to get in. So even if the top two teams were competing on the same day, only one of them would go into finals.
So we were all competing against each other, you and your friends.
Well,
it was a little bit of Hunger Games
happening
in the hotel.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, we were trying to see who could get left behind on the sightseeing tour.
And so the actual competition for you, how long did it last?
I believe we were given an hour, although so much was happening we couldn't really tell what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I heard, you were given also almost homework the night before. You were given like a briefing of what the story would involve and what the actual competition would involve.
Okay, so the room was the story behind the room was based on the movie Mind Gamers. Right. And it was actually a really good story. It was very well tied into the movie. The night before our event, we got to watch the movie, which I don't recommend, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard.
I watched it, so I have my own comments on that. Yeah, so.
The best way I can describe it was after the show was over, one guy raised his hand and said, well, you know, my English is not really good, so maybe I'm the only one with this question, but what was that movie about?
Oh, no. And at that point, did you kick him off the team?
Oh, he wasn't an American. He was, I think, he made him Russian. And I think everybody else in the room felt the same way. But during the final itself, when Scott Nicholson was explaining the story behind the game itself, it actually made sense, which was the best part.
Oh, that was great.
So you need to have Scott explain the movie to you via an escape room, and then maybe all bad movies are like that. We just need Scott to give us...
I don't know if it's bad. I think they only showed portions of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
From what I heard.
No, they said they watched the whole thing.
The whole thing.
We watched the whole thing. We were thinking there might be clues in the movie that might help us later on in the escape room, but it wasn't the case.
Oh my goodness. So I bet you were like nervous the next, were you very nervous the next day going into it, knowing it's being televised as well?
Well, there was only so much worrying you could do it at, you know, up to a point.
True.
Yes. Listen to her. She's wise, man pants.
Okay, Errol. Thank you for your opinion. I'm a worrier.
Trust me. I am a stress, like I'm type A worrier. I worry about every single detail, but at a certain point, I realized that really wasn't going to do any good. I wasn't going to come up with any other ideas through my own worrying.
Right, that's true. Yeah. So, yeah, like, so I managed to catch the finals when it was being watched and everything. I know that the semifinals were not televised in any way because of their fear of cheating and, you know, how that would come about. But, you know, what were your impressions of the room itself? Like, once you were in there, I'm guessing you guys got into game mode immediately with all the training you did and stuff.
The thing is, it was a really different experience from any other escape room we've done before. I can go through, there were like seven different elements to it, like stages, I guess. So we started out being seated each with a VR headset on. We had no idea what was going to happen.
Oh my.
So, and when we entered the VR world, it was a maze basically with doors, colored doors that we had to figure out the pattern of, which so that would get us to the end together as a group. We couldn't see each other in the maze, but we could speak and sort of tell each other where we were.
Oh wow, that must have been crazy.
And the craziest part about it is that halfway through the maze, we felt the whole room shake and vibrate. And I didn't know what was going on, but later in the video recap, I saw that our chairs were actually on a platform that were moving.
Oh, really? Oh, crazy.
So how that was working, because the story was that there's this quantum computer and this guy was in it and trying to collapse all the quantum realities and take over the world, I guess. But we were trying to sneak into the computer to stop him. So this maze was our way of getting into the computer. And I suppose this moving platform that transported us to a different room was actually us going inside the computer.
Oh, neat. Wow. That sounds insane.
Yeah, it was really creepy. This whole place was built into this giant warehouse, and it just covered so much area. It was mind-blowing. So after we took the VR headsets off, we found ourselves in this corridor with lasers passing over it, like, you know, some one of those, like, spy movies.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We had to avoid the lasers. And then the next room we came in, there were 30 lasers going across. And so, of course, we assumed that, okay, we have to avoid these too. But what it turns out that this room was the firewall. And the way to get past the firewall is to block the firewall.
Oh, that's right. And I heard about this.
So I don't know if you saw any of the pictures, but basically we were all trying to position our bodies so that we could block all the lasers that were going across.
Oh, yes. Yes, we've seen pictures of that for sure.
When you succeeded in doing that, green lasers turned on that were mixed in with the red lasers. And now you had to let the red, the green lasers pass through while still blocking all the red lasers.
Gosh.
So this resulted in a lot of interesting contortions on our part.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, on the one hand, I think I'm, you know, it's kind of refreshing to see a laser maze that you don't have to, like, worm your way through. But on the other hand, it's still contorting, I guess, like a, you know, vertical game of Twister.
Exactly. So it was kind of fun to be faced with that challenge because it's a physical challenge, but it's also mental. But it was also flexibility and balance all at the same time.
So there were a lot of physical aspects. For anybody that hasn't seen it yet, there were more elements than you would normally find in an escape room, because I would assume watching people just sit and think is not exactly the most funnest thing on TV, so they probably added more physical elements.
Yes, I believe that's was actually their thinking. They wanted something that was good to see visually, and also they designed the room to be linear so that you could easily compare teams against each other. So, you know, you could tell exactly which room the person, the team failed in, and there's a direct comparison.
And unlike other kind of sporting events, you're not allowed to watch. At least if you haven't done the room, you're probably not allowed to watch other people do it. So, unless, were you allowed to watch other teams after you did the room?
Not at all. Part of the challenge was going into the room blind and just having to figure out on the spot what we were supposed to do to get past that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So like after this, the firewall challenge, we had a circuit board challenge. I don't remember what it's called. It was a pegboard. It's a giant wall and maybe a 1 foot ledge next to it that we could stand on, and the rest of the floor was electrified. When you step on it, it buzzed at you. And we were supposed to find a pattern of poles to put wooden pegs into that would cause all the lights to light up, and that would disable some security thing, and we would be able to pass on to the next room.
Okay, yeah, no, I remember seeing something about that for sure.
That was another very physical challenge, but because it was so big, it required cooperation, and you were standing on this ledge, so you couldn't just go back and forth. So we really had to work as a team for that one.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did you, like, was there somebody on your team who's sort of, like, excelling at the physical challenges more that you sent out constantly, or was it, like, pretty equal?
It was pretty much equal. It's, everybody on the team just, they were very good at jumping in wherever they were needed. So in that particular challenge, we just happened to be three on the ledge and one person was behind. So that was Richard, and he just took over directing us where to put our pegs in because he could step back and take a look at the entire situation. And we just naturally fell in that way. Whoever was in the best position to take charge would take charge at a point. So I was really lucky in the way this team worked out.
Now that you've done this type of escape room, would you hope that other escape rooms are going to be similar by adding in these physical components, or what do you think?
I think that would be so much fun because one of my favorite escape rooms that I did in Budapest on that trip also involved a laser maze. But this was an actual crawl under one beam and climb over another beam style. And I hadn't seen any of that that before in the US where I live.
Oh, really?
Sure, there are. I just have not traveled enough for it, I guess.
In 80 rooms? Oh, wow. Gosh. Sorry, it's like...
It's such a bread and butter in Toronto, at least.
We have seen so many laser mazes.
Yeah.
I guess I need to get to Ottawa then.
Even within the first 50 rooms that we've done, there have been so many. Now, they were all... A lot of them were really bad laser mazes.
Yes.
But we've seen a lot of laser mazes. So that's interesting. Wow. So I guess in the LA area. Now, to be fair, I also know that in your area, you seem to have a lot of escape rooms that focus a lot more on the immersive experience.
I think that's true. Partly because the movie industry is in this area. So the expertise for really amazing sets and prop making is available here. In fact, the first escape room I did, which was the basement, I believe the person who put that room together was involved in the special effects industry in some way.
Yeah, no, we've heard all about the basement. It's one to try for sure. So going back to the Red Bull challenge, you know, I'm going to ask the standard question. So what was your favorite puzzle and why? And then conversely, what was probably what was probably your least favorite puzzle and why?
All right, let's talk about my least favorite puzzle. This was an interesting one. So before the events, we had been given this fake scientific paper about quantum entanglement, quantum physics, and there's this section on entanglement that we were sure was going to be important, and it turned out it was.
Oh, okay, yep.
I don't know how much you understand about it, but it's kind of, I think, I don't know if it's real or fictional, but basically it talks about complementary colors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So when the puzzle itself, we were funneled into two separate rooms. And these rooms were separated by a small, narrow tunnel, and we each had a window looking into that room, into the tunnel, so we could see each other. But there was a little sign somewhere in the room saying that we have now been separated and we can no longer communicate with each other, cannot talk to each other, but we can see each other. So we realized, I guess we have to do everything through visual communication. What we needed to do in that room was, when we entered, we found 7 bricks. And these bricks each cycled through 3 different colors. So one would go through blue, red, green. Another would be purple, pink, yellow. And and we had to find 6 pairs across the rooms of bricks that were complementary colors.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I think I get that. Yeah.
So we started by holding up 7 bricks to the window and started looking at each other's bricks and trying to find the one that was going through a set of 3 colors that was opposite to another set that we could find in our hands.
Oh, my goodness.
And that just took forever because it's a tedious process. And I think we made a mistake with one of the pairs. So when we had the bricks all lined up in the positions, we didn't solve it correctly, but there was no indication which one was wrong. So it took us, I think we took 30 minutes to get through that puzzle.
So yeah, so it was a room with no vocal communication and also no feedback from the puzzle itself if you had done something wrong.
Exactly. Well, the problem is we heard about other teams ignoring the communication rule altogether and shouting as loud as they could. Turned out they could hear each other that way. I don't know if they received a penalty or not for that, but it would have been so much easier if we decided to do that.
I think everybody just said, screw it, we're just going to talk to each other and accept the consequences.
Pretty much. Some teams actually were smarter than that. They ended up trying to take a hint, and we did not, because we knew what we were supposed to do and we assumed that a hint was just going to tell us what to do. But the teams that took a hint, they were not allowed to take a hint within the first 5 minutes, and there was another 5-minute penalty for taking a hint. But so some teams after the first 5 minutes ended up taking that hint, and the hint ended up just being the doors opened and let them through the puzzle.
Yes, no, I did hear about that. I've heard many things about the hint system in the Slack chat.
Not knowing that would have been, that was the result, affected the strategy.
Kudos to the other teams for managing to do that. But so was that ultimately the one that kind of got you stuck then?
Yeah, that was what burned up most of our time. So that was the second last puzzle. And by the time we came out to the last puzzle, we had just a couple of minutes left.
Right. So I guess maybe before we go on to just finishing up, how you guys finished and everything. So what was your favorite puzzle to sort of go on a positive note?
Well, I think my favorite puzzle was the one that was most visually impressive, which was, we called it a vortex tunnel.
Yes, I've seen this vortex tunnel. It was very impressive.
Yes, I mean, you've seen them in these things in science museums where you'll go on a bridge and the whole tunnel around you is rotating.
I haven't actually been in one, but I've heard of it.
I think it happened in Inception.
Okay, yes, Cyril.
I think the first time I saw one of these was in Ripley's Believe It or Not, and I was literally floored by it. I walked into the tunnel and I fell over because I was so disoriented. I had to crawl out of it.
Oh, no, wait, I have been in one. Yes, it's scary. How did they stay standing in it now that I've seen it? Oh, my gosh. Yes, I remember those.
So when I saw this tunnel, I immediately knew I was going to get really dizzy. I held the railing and ran through it as quickly as I can until I realized that what I needed to do was in the tunnel.
Oh, no.
Before the event had happened, like a couple of hours ago, when things were a lot calmer, they had applied a tattoo on each of our necks, the back of our necks.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Well, it's a temporary tattoo.
Are you sure this isn't the Hunger Games?
So each of us had a different symbol, and this was supposed to be our a qubit identity or some sort. So that's how the system didn't recognize us as intruders, because we were masquerading as qubits, I guess.
Okay, fun.
So we each memorized our symbol, gave it a name so we could communicate. And then when we were in the tunnel, we noticed that the symbols that were printed on the inside matched some of our symbols. And we realized we each had to find it. And so the natural conclusion after that was to follow the path from our symbol to the other symbols. And there was a little iPad at the end of the tunnel where there were a bunch of symbols on the screen. And so we had to select them and select the pairs and enter them into the system.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, so I saw the second version of the vortex tunnel, but yeah, I heard it was a continuation of the first one.
Exactly. The second version, I believe, was supposed to reverse the process from the first first version.
Something like that. Yeah, I think there was it all hooked up to a number or something like that. Anyway, but yeah, so that was your favorite one in there.
Yes, just it was because of the challenge, and it was kind of the scale of it.
Yes. And that's something that, yeah, you definitely don't normally see in a regular escape room, for sure.
Like a whole warehouse to get dedicated, yeah.
Okay, so that's great. So you guys didn't end up, did you end up making it to the finals? I don't think you did.
No, we didn't. The finals were Ukraine and Slovenia.
That's right. And so what ended up, how did you guys end up placing?
I don't actually know. We did make it, and well, it was a relief. So after that, we just kicked back and enjoyed Budapest.
Did you go and do escape rooms there?
We did a bunch.
Oh, nice. How many did you do?
We may have done 10 on the last day.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. I hit my 100th escape room in Budapest. That was nice.
That's a good way to celebrate.
Did you get cake?
I did. On your advice, I went and got the Dobostorta.
Oh, my advice? I advised you to get a type of cake.
I had announced it in Slack, and you were saying that I should get a Dobostorta. And I was, that sounds awesome. I looked it up, and it's this amazing 7-layer chocolate cake.
Oh, wow. Huzzah. Are we sure? I can't remember anything. I believe you. I don't remember anything at all. I remember talking about it.
You lead a blessed life.
Because I forget everything.
Because you forget everything. So it's all new. You're like, did I talk about cake? That's amazing. I'm amazing. Okay.
I didn't say that.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't work for movies, though, sadly.
Yeah. So overall, it was, you know, an interesting experience, I'm sure, with Red Bull. I saw the finals. I saw Ukraine versus Slovenia. It was, as a viewer, it was stressful for me to watch, when, especially when they got...
Now, as a viewer, what isn't stressful?
Okay, hang on. I shouldn't say stressful. I should say tense. It was tense for me to watch, because especially when both teams got stuck on the vortex tunnel, I believe, or the second iteration of it. And especially not knowing the story behind it and everything, there was just no way to really know what exactly the solution was. We knew what they weren't getting, because the commentators, like Scott Nicholson, was pointing out when they were doing something completely wrong. But were you in the audience? Like, were you feeling the same way, or had you just like, you're like, we're done and I'm good and I don't need to be here anymore?
No, there was a lot of tension. I think, for me, I was thinking, well, that could easily have been me, and what would I have done in that situation? And feeling like, well, you know what? I think I probably would have ended up doing what they were doing and just analyzing everything and looking at seeing it through their eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Like they said too, like, you know, once you're in an escape room, especially with the added pressure of, you know, English not as a first language and you know, the TV cameras on you, it's just like, you know, 5 layers of stress.
Yeah, I think something was definitely lost in translation with the explanation of how that room was supposed to go.
Yeah, that's also what I heard. So kind of like branching off of that in general, like, this was the first event of its kind, really. And, you know, being a contestant, if they were to do it again, what kind of, you know, changes would you like to see being made, like, to sort of improve the experience overall?
Well, I mean, for the first time being held, I think the the event overall is pretty well designed. I think like the games itself could have benefited from more testing, but as usual with anything like this, there's always a time crunch.
Yes.
And I heard they were fixing things right up to 2 in the morning, and they were getting whoever they could to test it.
Yeah, I think it was like a combination of, you know, the rules of TV mixing with the rules of escape rooms. And it's tough because, yes, in television, everything is, you know, being adjusted right up until the last minute. And while that's the same in escape rooms, it's not quite the same kind of crunch as it is in the television world.
True. And with any kind of high stakes competition, the smallest rules it makes a difference, and you would analyze it to death and figure out everything you can about it beforehand. But because this is the first time being held, such an event was being held, we really had nothing to go on other than this wall of text and, okay, what do we focus on here?
Right. Right. That's like half the challenge of an escape room is figuring out what's important and what's not.
So it turns out that, you know, well, the hint system is something to definitely pay attention to. And that's what we got out of this experience, learning how important some of the rules were, how they designed it, because these rules don't normally apply in escape rooms.
Right. That's a bit of a comment I heard. Is like, in as far as a traditional escape room, it's not exactly a traditional escape room. Not to say it's not one, but it's not one that people are normally used to.
Exactly.
Was there a lot of Red Bull just sitting around for you guys to drink?
We had a Red Bull representative that was chaperoning us around the city, and he offered to get us as much as we wanted.
But would you drink it before the competition?
I thought about it, but I don't actually drink Red Bull, so I decided it's not a good thing to try something new on game day.
Especially a highly sugared energy drink.
Could have been like zipping all over the place, though. Yeah.
Oh God, I don't want to see Errol on Red Bull. I don't think. I'm just thinking what that would be like.
There'd just probably be more dancing and more singing.
Probably. You'd be the worst person to bring into a world championship.
And all sorts of ADD. I could just imagine. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
For me. There was a lot of singing on the bus, actually. That's something that was cross-cultural. Like the Ukrainian team and the Swedish team, and we were all singing Queen, I think.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wait, that's right. You sing too, Tammy. Actually, she was a guest. Did you know that Tammy did a small part in one of our songs for our parodies?
Was that the there was
one line on the Mulan parody.
It was the Mulan parody.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
I should get you to sing a whole. You want to write a song and sing it, Tammy?
Errol.
Depending on the song, maybe.
There you go. She can sing a song.
There you go.
And write one.
And write. You're really making her do all of the work.
And then you can put it in your own interview. That'd be amazing.
Oh, you're going to make her do all of the work. Yes, for her.
So was there a huge party afterwards of all the teams?
There was a party at a nightclub, which I actually skipped by that point because that was the night before we were going to do our escape room day in Budapest.
Oh, you want to be alert for that. Yeah. I don't blame you.
But before that, there was a dinner the night before that. And on the bus back from that dinner, I think there were a lot of people who had partaken of the free alcohol. That's why there was so much singing.
That was the night before the competition?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a mistake.
I was sober, but I still sang.
There you go. All night with Queen. That's amazing.
And so, like, you know, you said you met so many people from so many different countries. Did you make any friends there, like, that you still keep in contact
with?
What if
she says no, and then you just made her feel bad?
Then we'll cut it out.
I have all kinds of random Facebook friends speaking in writing languages that I do not understand now.
That's awesome. And how about your team? Like, do you guys still keep in contact, or are you?
Are they now the best team in the world and you can't play escape rooms? Did they spoil it because you can only play with them?
I've only actually played one game since coming back from Budapest, but I do miss them a lot. I mean, it was just really, like, we worked so smoothly together as a team.
Oh, so if you go out with anybody else now, it's just going to be like, oh.
What's wrong with you?
You're not like Team USA at all.
like the people I play with in LA are my friends, and we've been playing together for a long time, and I enjoy being with them.
Well, that's good. So overall, it was a good experience, at the very least, to get to Budapest and try out all these cool escape rooms. Did you have a favorite one there?
I think it must have been the one with the laser maze that I mentioned, just because I hadn't seen that one before.
You really should come to Toronto. You will get your fill of laser mazes. Of laser mazes.
I won't do that.
Laser maze after laser maze. And it's harder for me to do those because my butt is huge. And so I was doing one with my children, and they'd just be yelling out, "Your butt's too big, Daddy! Your butt's too big!"
Why did you let your kids do that?
Sorry, I just had a question, and then it kind of went
away.
I'm
sorry. I interrupted with all my butt talk.
Your butt talks.
My buttocks.
Get it? Oh, God.
Sorry, Tammy. We are a professional.
We're a professional podcast.
I haven't brought up my butt in a long time.
Oh, look at you go. You're just so accomplished. So if it did end up happening next year, would you try and compete again, do you think?
I would definitely try, but I think the competition is going to be a lot harder next year. I think this year, many people had not heard about it.
Right. But you've got your resume, so like you can get on any team now.
And I'm also pretty sure that there aren't that many enthusiasts. So people who have played an escape room probably have a bigger advantage, because the trials, weren't they more escape room-like?
The trials were not at all escape room-like.
Oh, really? Even the trials weren't?
They were a lot like the online qualifier. I don't know if you played that. It was a little logic game, really.
No, I actually didn't try those.
Yeah, there were no qualifiers in Canada.
I mean, we could have just played it online, but no.
The thing about the in-person qualifier was that it was designed to test teamwork.
Oh, okay. That worked. That makes sense.
Yes, because we each had a screen on there was this pillar in the middle of the room, and there was a screen on each side, and so we each had our own screen, but three of the people had to solve the puzzle on their screen before the person on the last screen would be able to solve theirs. But yes, the information that those three people needed was also on the last screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about this.
So there's a lot of communication that needed to happen to get the whole thing done as quickly as possible.
Okay, yeah. So it's a lot more logic puzzles then. And I guess, I don't know, it depends. Like, there's so many different types of puzzles in escape rooms. I guess maybe, like, one thing they might be able to do is incorporate more of that next year, if they do it, but I don't know.
A lot of the elements that I see commonly in escape rooms that I've done were not things that they could have used in Red Bull, because they were trying to go for the language-independent aspect of it.
Yes, that's also true.
And there are not very many language. And I think the only one I know of is the Red Room, the Scraps Red Room.
Right, that's one that's not dependent on language. Yeah. Yeah, do you know of any, actually, that's an escape room that isn't dependent on language?
Well, I've seen a lot of puzzles that are not language dependent, but I think that other aspect that they were going for was, again, the it needed to look good on TV, so not a lot of searching and not a lot of quiet time sitting together, piecing things together or just figuring out.
Yay, no searching. That's great.
It'd be like the perfect room for us. Here are all of your puzzles. Just do them.
Thanks for joining us, Tammy. Good to finally actually talk to you for a long period of time, because we only really get a chance to talk in the Slack. So
yeah.
It's great to actually hear a person's voice. And then sometimes I multitask in the Slack, and then I won't see a response until like an hour later.
And once again, congratulations for getting onto Team USA.
That was exciting. Woo! Okay, Amanda, you can talk us out.
Okay. Room Escape Divas is brought to you by Inverse Genius.
Do we
want to
talk about, you know, where they can find like the Red Bull shows if people want to see it?
Oh, yeah, we should do that. Yeah.
We'll put it in the description.
Okay.
Because we don't know off the top of our heads, do we?
It's like redbull.tv or something.
Oh, is it really?
Like,
oh, you know off the top of your head. Very good,
man. Maybe.
Very good.
Maybe. So we'll put it in the description. Yeah. Room Escape Divas is brought to you by Inverse Genius. You can go to InverseGenius.com to find other cool podcasts just like this one. You can also email us at RoomEscapeDivas@gmail.com or go to the Facebook page and click the like button. And you can use the hashtag REDivas on Twitter. And finally, we should have announced this at the beginning, but we do have an event coming up. Should we talk about that?
Meow, meow, meow.
Train, what are you doing, you freak?
Well, I don't even know when this will be played. What if the train event is over?
But we do, and finally, we do have an event coming up. If you are in the Toronto area, specifically Uxbridge, we are going to have an escape room on a train. We are partnering with Panic Factory and the York-Durham Heritage Railway, and it is going to be an escape event, a three-hour event on a moving train. Go to our Facebook page. The event is shared there, and you can get all the details. It's awesome.
If you're in Toronto.
If you're in Toronto. If you'd like to book tickets to fly to Toronto. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tammy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.